I want to say again, we're glad to have Bob and his wife with us. They've been gone for quite a while. And thankful that they can be back in service with us. And everyone that has come to be with us, we so appreciate it. You know, God has allowed the spiritual things of salvation and of the church to look so bad. God has allowed it to be one of the most undesirable things that is in the earth. All of the mud being slung at it, being oppressed, the martyrs, different things that made the church so undesirable. The Lord did that because the Bible said, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. And the Lord has let everything be covered up and not to be desirable, because God wanted to find out who his friends really are. And he wanted to find out who really would follow him and not be going along for the fishes and the loaves. But see, the time has come that God has proven his friends. And God has learned all that is in the earth. Out of that, God has learned who loves him and who loves the riches of this world and the things of this world. God has learned that. And now the Lord is beginning to take the veil off of his masterpiece. And all of those things that look so undesirable and so repulsive are beginning to glitter. Those things that from the foundation of the world were preordained and predestined to be the most beautiful, breathtaking things that the human eye has ever beheld. We've come to the time when God is beginning to show the beauty of salvation and the glories and splendor of eternal existence and the riches of heaven. How beautiful, how wonderful they really are. And the people that have betrayed Christ, sold out for just a morsel of bread, as we say, those people, when they see the beauties and glories of the treasures of heaven, are going to be so shocked and so amazed, because they never dreamed that the beauties of God were so wonderful. I made the statement not too long ago. I guess it's been a couple of years back or something. I said, if you'll watch toward the latter years, everything will become musical. And I said, all of these great singers and all of the great people back out yonder that's doing singing for the world will lose interest in that. And I said, they'll begin to sing for God. And the whole thing will center around the program of God. And it'll begin to magnify the Word of God. And I noticed, since that time, more and more, they're beginning to talk about Jesus. I noticed that the Happy Goodmans, just recently, one of them standing with tears streaming down their cheeks, exhorted the people to give their hearts to God. Said, folks, we're not traveling from place to place just to sing. Said, we are trying to win souls for God. And some of the others, I heard them with my own ears, as they said, what we want to do is see people give their hearts to God. And said, we're singing for the glory of God. More and more people are beginning to realize that God is the most beautiful, most glorious thing that there is. And that his way of life and his salvation is so lovely. And now they want to be a part of it. You better hurry. It's going to be so beautiful that the team in millions will hurry up to his house. The Bible said at the last, the house of the Lord shall be established. It shall be a beautiful, most glorious thing. And all of the nations shall hurry up to his house and say, let us go up to the house of God and let him teach us of his ways. All of the nations will do it. All of the nations. The big singing conventions will turn into a revival. And all over the world, people will turn to God. Football games will stop right in the middle of their play. And people will fall down on their faces and call on the name Jesus. Oh, you say it'll never happen, Brother Pike, but it will happen. Great places will begin to be stirred. And people will fall right there in the streets and call on the name Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The great multitudes will turn to Jesus. Reading in the book of Proverbs in the 30th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. The 15th verse. The horse's leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things. Say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forces of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know, all the way through the Bible, in the teachings of God's Word, the one thing that God is continually trying to emphasize and establish in our hearts and in our minds is wisdom and faith. God is always trying to tell us that without wisdom, if we do not use wisdom, if we are without wisdom, that we're going to run into many foolish hurts. And that our life isn't going to be complete, nor are we going to be happy, unless we have wisdom. And then God is always trying to tell us that unless we have faith in God, that we're not going to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. That we're not going to have the strength that we need. And so then we should seek wisdom with all of our heart. And we should do all that we possibly can that we might have faith in God, that we can carry the shield of faith and be able to stop the powers of evil. We should pray, we should fast, we should study our Bible. We should come together in brotherhood and sisters should meet together just as much as possible, that we might grow strong in the things of God. We should lose sight of all the world, that we might come together as a brotherhood, and that we might keep our minds solely upon the things of God. Did you know it's so easy for a man to get his mind distorted and get his mind out in the things of the world and find himself in a mess? It's so easy for a man to think so many ungodly things. Did you know that? Man's mind is continually thinking and always leading him astray. He's always got it figured out. He's always trying to tell you how it is. Always trying to place everything the way it should go. But brethren, let me tell you something. I learned something a long time ago. There is no way to figure it out. There is no way to understand it except God give you the answer. You may spend your life getting education. You may spend your life trying to consider life and trying to be smart and to know what to do. And you may do many things and feel like that you've done a great thing because it's favorable to the flesh for a while. But I want you to know that at the end of the way, you'll find out that there is no wisdom without God. There is no understanding without the word of the Lord. How do you understand that? God has the power to deliver us from ourselves. The worst enemy that we have is ourselves. God has the power to deliver us from ourselves and will deliver us from ourselves. God can deliver us from sin. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I'm doing something and I just can't quit. Now why do you want to lie against God? The Bible said, lie not against the truth. You know better than that. You can't quit because you don't want to quit. You can't come out of the world because you love the things of the world. Anytime you get ready, you can stop something. There's nothing that you can't turn away from if you want to turn away from it. But my brothers and sisters, there's nothing that you can turn away from if you want to stay with it, because the powers of the devil will bind you. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And how do I do that? Draw nigh to God first. If we'd spend a little time reading the Bible, a little time praying, a little time fasting, a little time coming together with the brotherhood, if we'd get interested in the things of God and quit being weary of the things of God, then God could bless us, God could give us strength, and we could overcome the devil. But as long as we got our minds on new clothes and new homes and new houses and wealth and all of the things of the world, the frolics of the world, on Hollywood and television and ball games and education, we'll never overcome the devil. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. You can't spend your time around swimming pools and out on the beaches. You can't spend your time playing ball and letting your children play ball. You can't spend your time in front of the television. You can't spend your time trying to figure out how to make money and live an overcoming life for God. Now, but one thing about it, if you spend your time seeking the kingdom of God, putting foolishness away from you, seeking the wisdom of God, God will give you riches. God will give you wisdom. God will give you everything that you need. And someday when God has purged and cleansed the earth, God will turn the entire earth over to you and it will be yours to do with it as you will. Because you'll have the right mind to know what to do with it. So then what we need to do is to have wisdom. We need to have faith. We need to have the love of God. We need to have a vision for God. You know why that I'm able to stay with the Lord? Because I continually stir up my mind toward Christ. I am continually searching of how to do something for God. I've continually got my mind on some way to build the kingdom of Christ. When I wake up in the night, I go to praise God. I get up, I get down on my knees, and I start praising God. And I start giving glory to God. And I say, Lord, help me to keep a vision. Lord, help my spirit to be right with thine. And help me, oh God, to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Let my mind be in Christ. When I wake up in the morning, I say, Jesus, what can I do for you? Lord, would you stir up my mind today? Would you help me, Lord, to have a vision for the things of God? Would you help me, Jesus? And by that, I feel a tugging in my heart. I feel a burning desire. I feel something start moving in my soul. I feel that wonderful power of God begin to stir up. I feel something illuminating me on the inside. And I suddenly find myself enjoying my salvation and find myself with a zeal to do something for Jesus. David said, stir up your pure mind in Christ. Hallelujah. Don't wait till it gets stirred up. Don't wait for somebody else to stir it up. You stir it up. Hallelujah. You know, you don't need to wait for somebody else to stir up your mind. You need to stir it up. And then when you stir up your mind and somebody else comes by and somebody else needs a little help, then you can stir up their mind in the Lord. And then they receive a blessing. Think what it would be like tonight at Little Bethlehem if every individual at Little Bethlehem had stirred up their mind in God before they came to church tonight. Think what it would be like if you had prayed and sought God, every person here, and was stirred up in the things of God. When I come up here, I was prayed up and stirred up in the things of God. And then when we come together, mine'd be like atomic blast. If there was a sinner sitting in the midst of us, he'd have to get to the altar. If all of us were stirred up for God, what would it be like when we come together and the Spirit of God began to move as it did on the day of Pentecost, and God began to empty out the Spirit of God upon us like honey in a bucket? What would it be like? People everywhere would say, let's go to Little Bethlehem. Those people have salvation. Those people are rejoicing. Those people are having a good time. There's something in their hearts that makes them glad that they're alive. Folks, there is something in my heart that makes me glad I'm alive. I don't feel like committing suicide. I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying your life. Hallelujah. I don't feel like sitting down and doing nothing. I feel like moving for God. I feel like getting up and doing something for Christ. I don't feel like sitting down pining over the bruises and the wounds and the hurts. Oh, listen at me. I told somebody the other day, somebody was complaining about this and complaining about that, and they was going to leave because of this. And I told somebody, I said, go to them and ask them this question. Do you expect everything to go right for you? Do you expect to live a life and never have a heartache? Do you expect to be among the Christians and never have persecution? Do you expect them to say everything that you like and never cross your grain? Is that the way that you intend to serve God? Has everything got to please you at Little Bethlehem before you can be a part of the brotherhood? Come on, folks. I'll tell you, if that's the way you're heading, you're in bad shape. You're going to learn that everything isn't going to go your way, and everything you hear you're not going to like. You're going to learn that every brother you meet's not going to rub you the right way. You're going to find out you're going to have heartaches and problems and woes and troubles and financial difficulty whether you stay at Little Bethlehem or go somewhere else. And if you expect to get to heaven that way, you might as well quit right now, because the road that I'm traveling is a rocky road. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? It's not honey all the way, but somebody said there's honey all along the way. There's rough places to go through. There's trials to go through. There's troubles. There's problems. Sometimes the preacher is going to say something that's going to singe your feathers. Sometimes it's not going to seem too good for you. Sometimes you're not going to like the way the service went. But I'll tell you what, if you're right in your heart, you'll come back next time. And I tell you what, you'll come back with the joy of the Lord. And I'll tell you something else, when you leave the church, you'll go out yonder and testify for God. You won't go out there mumbling and grumbling and complaining, but you'll go out there with a testimony for Christ. They'll say, what's going on at Little Bethlehem? Say, come and see. Hallelujah. Come and see. You'll go with a testimony. You know, it's no wonder that some churches never have anybody to attend. By the time their dead congregation gets around and everybody gets a testimony to the man that thought about coming in their direction, he's ready for the funeral home. But I'll tell you what, you take living oracles of God. You take people that are burning with the salvation of Christ. You take somebody that really believes in a heartfelt experience instead of a head knowledge, and let that person testify to another person, and somebody will say, you know, I sure did feel good while I talked with that fella. Amen. Why do you want to go testify of the giants? Why do you want to go tell them every problem that there is here at Bethlehem? You know, it takes a sorry man to go out from his home and tell every problem that he has with his children and every problem that he has with his wife to his neighbor. Always accusing his wife, always accusing his little children. That's a sorry man. It takes a sorry woman to go somewhere and always accuse her husband and always accuse her little family. Do you know that? And it takes a sorry church member to go out from the church and always find fault and tear down, belittle the things of God and the people of God. I told somebody the other day, I said it takes a foolish man to go out there and testify that they can blow up the church of the living God and tear down the kingdom of God when the Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I told somebody the other day, I said, you're talking about knowing something in my life that can blow up the church. I said, brother, you don't know nothing in my life because there ain't nothing in my life for you to know. The Bible said the righteous is bold as a lion. I said, it just so happens there ain't nothing in my life for you to do that with. And I said, that don't merit me a thing with God, but one thing about it, it sure does come in handy when people start talking like that. You love Jesus? Hallelujah! If there's nothing in your life, then nobody's going to find anything. Did you know that? If you live for God, there ain't nothing that the cats can drag out. And you can be happy because there ain't no skeletons in the closet. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, everybody's got a skeleton in the closet. Well, you can look in my closet, but there ain't no skeletons. If there was, I'd get them out because I don't like skeletons. Hallelujah. God don't like them either. That's why he said, can these bones live again? And the Bible said he put some sinew on them because he didn't like skeletons. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So if you got any skeletons in there, drag them out and put them on the waste pile and burn them up. Get rid of them. When you go out from Bethlehem, don't go out testifying about the giants. Don't go out there gossiping, backbiting, and talking about a weak brother or sister. Go out there and say, praise God, you ought to come over to Bethlehem. And somebody say, why come over there? Man, you ought to come over and see what we're doing for God. Like Jehu said, come and see my zeal for Christ. You love Jesus? All right. So then I feel good. Brother Walker says, I feel good, good, good. I feel good because I've got Jesus on the inside of my heart. Why shouldn't I feel good? The Bible said serving God's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And brother, if you've got joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, you're going to feel good. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if you had the aches and the grunts and the pains that I've got, you wouldn't feel good. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have the aches and the pains and the grunts you've got. Somebody would say, but I'm sick. Well, the Bible said the sick need a physician. I'm a physician. Let me help you. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be full of grunts and aches and pains and groans. You can serve God. Like I told Sister Betty a few days ago, Sister Betty's not one to be full of aches and groans all the time. But the devil jumped on her, really jumped on her, almost killed her. I said, Betty, that ain't the way. I've been together too long. I never seen you do like that. I said, get your faith going and get rid of the devil. And she did, and she got rid of the devil. She'd been healthy and happy and doing fine. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get rid of Satan. If you fellowship Satan, you're never going to have nothing but a sad heart. If I go around with something laying on my head all the time, I'm going to get tired after a while. If I keep dragging the chains of doubt around all the time, I'm going to get weary. Paul said, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. Run with patience the race that Christ has set before you. He said, you did run well. What's hindered you? So then rise up and let's take the kingdom for God. Shake yourself and get up and let's go for God. When you come to church, don't come to church and sit down sad, mourning, but come to church bubbling for God. Whisper a little prayer outside and come into the house of God with thanksgiving and with joy. Hallelujah. Coming to be able to heal the people, to help the people, and to stir up the pure minds in Christ. All right, so what we need is faith. Have you agreed to that? I want a people that's a people that's been taken out of a people. I want somebody that loves God. I want somebody that can stand up for Jesus and do something. You understand what I'm saying? It's like I told somebody the other day. You know, we get ready to do something, and Jesus said the flesh is weak. And I don't want to's get to arguing with I want to's. And the first news you know, it's like Brother Richard said, you can't get coordinated. And if you don't watch out, your don't want to's will get the best of your want to's. And you'll find yourself in a complex and you won't know what to do. But you know the best thing to do is kill the old man. And you'll lose all you don't want to's. And then the God part will stir you up and you'll have a lot of want to's. And then you'll be able to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Some people get up on Monday morning to go to work. They shake themselves and say, I'm going to work. And they don't want to, said, I'm too tired. And after a while, you'll sit there and listen to that till all of the want to's is gone. And you'll sit right there and do nothing. But you take a real man, he'll get up and he'll say, it's work time. And then his don't want to's will say, boy, you're too tired. You stayed up too late last night. He'll say, they ain't got nothing to do with it. I got to make my family a living. And off he'll go, and that'll be the last of the don't want to's. He'll work good all day and not have any problems. Somebody say amen. And that's the same way it is for Christ. If you want to do something for Christ, be single-minded. Don't be double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You stand up one minute and you say, praise God, I'm a son of God. And something slips into the back of your mind and say, well, are you sure? You say, well, I don't know. That's not the way to do it. When somebody preaches the word of God to you, you'll say, I believe it. And the devil will strike you back here and say, how do you know it's true? You say, well, I'm not too sure whether it is or not. You understand what I'm saying? Like Bill reminded me today, a fellow the other day was talking about, in one breath, he said he didn't know whether William Branham was a prophet or not. And before he realized it, in the next breath, he said, well, God certainly told me that the spirit of William Branham's on me. How do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't know where we're going. See, if I don't know what a man is, why do I want his spirit? I'd love to know what the man is if I'm going to have his spirit. How do you agree to that? Hallelujah. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And the spirit of the Lord is upon me. Somebody said, I don't know whether the spirit of William Branham's on you or not. I don't either. I don't know whether the spirit of A. Allen's on me or not. But there's one thing I do know, that the spirit of God is upon me. For the anointed me to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's good enough for me. If William Branham had anything that's relative to me, it's the Spirit of God. If he didn't have that, I don't want his Spirit anyway. So everything's running right on time. You love Jesus? All right. So then what we want to do, folks, is to get up from here and do something for God. Let's don't be a bunch of people that just sit around and let the offices go undone. Let's don't be somebody that just sits around and never gives an offering to God, never helps the poor, never does anything. But let's be a group of people that can get up and do something for God and see the kingdom of God move. Let's get up from here and say, Lord, you said that we're going to take the kingdom. And God, the kingdom belongs to me because you said it's your will for me to have the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, it's thy Father's good will and pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And say, God, I'm ready for the kingdom. Give it here. I'm ready to go. Somebody would say, well, I don't know where to go. Anywhere you want to. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Any place you can find that's a part of the world, and any place you can find a creature, go preach to him. Go testify to him. You love Lord? Now, like I said this morning, you don't have to break your brotherhood. Just because you go over yonder and get a job to make your little boy a biscuit, you don't have to divorce your wife, do you? So then we can work together. We can be brothers. Brother Al Gonzalez and Sister Navi spent quite a bit of time down in Mexico. But they didn't get down there and say, well, I don't know Brother Pike. I never heard of Brother Pike. Who's Brother Pike? We were brethren before he went down there. We was brothers while he was down there. And we are brothers since he left from down there. And that's the way it's supposed to be. See, you're my brother. Let's get up and do something for God, children of God. Let's step our pure mind in the Lord. Don't you feel good tonight? Why don't you feel good tonight? You're God's people. You ought to feel good tonight. And get over there like Israel was down in the valley and sit there and moan and pine and say, well, I just can't do it. I don't know what's going to become of us. Don't do like that. That's the way the children of Israel did. And God let them wander 40 years in a wilderness. And I never did take them into Canaan. Let them die in the wilderness. Don't do that. Don't spend so much time trying to figure out whether or not I'm a preacher. Spend a little time trying to believe what I say. They sat there and they couldn't do anything. And finally God took a little old shepherd boy. And why did God take a shepherd boy? Why did he take a great general? Why did he call some great person? Why did he do that? See, like today, why hasn't God called the great generals of the army to tell us about Jesus? Because God wanted to show them how foolish they were. How unwise they were. Isn't that right? When they sat down and said, well, what can God do against a giant? A little shepherd boy that was a nobody, that was a nothing, that refused to even carry a sword and stood out there and said, I'm not afraid of the uncircumcised Philistine. Now, where did he get his courage with all the rest of them failing? Why did David do that? You know why David did it? Because the Bible said he had a heart like God. What kind of heart was that? That courageous, fearless, believing heart. Had a pure heart. God had purified his heart by faith. Is that right? David had a pure heart, a heart like God. No fear, but faith in his heart. When time came to face the Philistine, he didn't have any skeletons in the closet. He didn't have any condemnation. When he stepped out there and he took one look at the opposition, just one giant standing on the hillside, David didn't measure the opposition by his little puny ability like they had done. Somebody said his arms is bigger than mine, his legs is bigger than mine, shield bigger than mine, his spear is bigger than mine. Isn't that right? David took one look at him and said, God's bigger than he is. And he went to battle. Isn't that right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Face the opposition with the power of God and with faith in God. I don't know what your opposition is. Maybe it's cancer in your life. It could very well be. But when you see it, don't say, oh my God, I'm gone. Don't do that. But say, God, even though I may die, even though I may die, Lord, yet I'm yours if I die. I'm going to heaven if I die. I'm not going to spend my time worrying and pining over it. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can to testify while I am alive and do something for you. And besides that, Lord, this is my great opportunity to show you that I'm not going to fear disease, but I'm going to trust in God and I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust in you, Jesus. And I'm going to believe what you said about it. I'm going to trust you. This is my great moment, God. This is my great opportunity to show you that I love you. And I believe your word regardless to symptoms and problems and whatever. You understand what I'm saying? If you're having family problems with the wife or with the husband, do the same thing. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know God's the only physician that got just one prescription for everything? There ain't another physician in the world that can just give you one prescription that'll take care of everything. But God's got one prescription, that's Jesus Christ. He takes care of everything. Isn't that wonderful? So then all we've got to do is believe. Whatever your problem is, children of God, believe. Believe. Stir up your mind in Christ to believe. You ever really wanted to do something for God? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm just down at the last straw. Well, what do you need with a straw when you got Christ? You follow me? What do you need with anything if you got God? What do you need with money if you got God? What do you need with a physician if you got God? God is everything. He doesn't need anything. God gives us many things that we can use. Automobiles. He gives us wives. He gives us children. He gives us strength. He gives us eyes. He gives us help. But brother, when it comes right down to it, we don't need any of it. Did you know that when you got Jesus? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like I need what I got. But did you know there's one day when God takes the body away from the spirit? And without the body, you can't drive an automobile, you can't see, you can't read a book, you can't turn on a light. Without the body, you have no need for the trees and the rivers and the stars. But you still got Jesus. See, so you don't need nothing but Jesus, is that right? All you need is Jesus. So then if that's all we need, let's just trust in Jesus and love Jesus. And let's get up from here and be about our Father's business. How do you agree? That's the way I see it. So then what we need is faith in God and we need wisdom in God. Isn't that right? God will do the rest. How are you willing to give God a chance? Are you willing to give God a chance? I want you to stand with me. All the Lord is asking of you is to believe. You find in all the scripture when there was problems and different things arose, Jesus would just simply say, fear not, only believe. And they would say, Jesus, my little one is sick. And at the point of death, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. And they say, but Jesus, my little one has died. That didn't move Jesus. Isn't that right? That didn't move Jesus. They said, but Lord, you don't understand. Said, Lazarus is dead. So what? What's that got to do with it? What's death got to do with it? That didn't move Jesus. Jesus said, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Just keep believing. No matter what the circumstances is, it has nothing to do with it. Keep believing. Everything will work out right if you keep believing. He said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. You say, but Brother Pike, you just don't understand how brokenhearted I am. How tore up I am in the condition that I'm in. Perhaps I don't. But you know, I've been down some hard roads too. But there's one thing about it, Jesus understands. Isn't that right? Jesus understands. So then, say, Lord, I believe. I believe. No way, but I still believe. Having done all to stand, the Bible said, stand anyway. If you're weak, be strong in the power of His might. Take courage, take strength. How many of you are determined to do something for God? That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Sisters, brothers, do something for God. Even the little children in school. Be courageous, you little children that's listening to me. Go to school and do something for God. Little people can do something for God. People 8 and 12 years old, God made kings out of them and put them over kingdoms. Do something for God. Don't spend your time being foolish, even if you're little. Do something for God. Keep your mind on God. Let the Lord use you. That's the way it ought to be. Brethren, when we come together here, let's renew our courage in God, because we don't just come to church. But see, we are people, predestined people. Oh my, that thrills my very soul. I'm not just somebody coming to little Bethlehem gym. That's not what it is. But I'm a God to live eternally and forever. Jesus made me a God. Oh, somebody freezes up on me now. I've said this a lot of times to try to break down the icicles. When a cat gets a family, what does he produce? And a dog gets a family, what does he produce? And a human being gets a family, what does he produce? And when God gets a family, what does he produce? All right, then what are you tonight? You know, in spite of all I say, somebody said, I'm just afraid to say it. Glory to God, I believe it, but I'm just afraid to say it. You don't believe it. I'm not afraid to say it. Why should I be afraid to say it? The Bible said Jesus thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Isn't that right? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Is that right? Then what are we tonight? Are we men? If I say that you're a man and you're children of God, then I've lied. Because the Bible said you're gods. Is that what the Bible said? Who said that? Jesus said that. The prophet stated it in the Old Testament. Jesus carried over to the New Testament. And Jesus boldly stood before them when they wanted to stone him to death because he said he was the Son of God. Now, why did they want to stone him? Because he said he was the Son of God. But they didn't say, we're going to stone you because you said you was the Son of God. Said, you being a man, make yourself God. Come on now. Wasn't that what they said? But he didn't say that. He said he was the Son of God. But see, they knew that gods begat gods. And that if he was the Son of God, he had to be God. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? So then Jesus said, ye are gods. Do you feel like a God tonight? Let me see your hand. Do you believe that you're a God tonight? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. If we are gods tonight, why do we have to die like men? Jesus said, you're gods, but you die like men because of the lack of knowledge. That is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of eternal life. Brethren, why should we die like men tonight? Why should we have unbelief? Why should we put up with pains and aches and problems? Why don't we stand by faith and believe God in the face of every opposition, in the face of every sickness? You know what's wrong with the world out there? Let me tell you. You know what's wrong with the world? They are afraid. They are afraid. Germany's afraid America's going to take their country. America's afraid that Russia's going to take their country. And other countries are afraid that the other's going to take their country. And the sinners are afraid that you and I are going to take their country. And we are. Amen. Amen. They are afraid. God's people are multiplying in the earth. And we're growing bigger and greater. That's what tore old Pharaoh up. He said, Moses and that bunch is multiplying, just multiplying and multiplying. Said, we better do something, folks. Boy, I'll tell you right now, the sinners are beginning to get frustrated. You go into a restaurant and used to, you sit there for 2 days and somebody might come in and hold one eye open, you know, and look around and say, God help us. Now then you go into a restaurant and a group sitting over here and saying, help us, Jesus, God bless my brethren. Somebody comes walking down the aisle and say, hallelujah. You say, you ever heard things like that? Absolutely. I sat in the restaurant today and I took a look at a group that come in. I thought, now, them people right there have to do with God. And I watched them, and after a while they bowed their heads down, started to ask in the blessing. After a while, here come in another group. I ain't talking about our people now. Here come in another group, and I heard somebody say something about, God bless you. How many listen to what I'm saying? And then after a while, come in our group, and you know what happened. See, what is it? God's people are multiplying in the earth. Let's rise up and take the kingdom. Glory to God. Let's tell the world about it. Tell the banker and the judge them. Tell all of them. Tell it on the mountaintop. Tell it in the schools. Tell it in the colleges. Tell it wherever it's at. Hallelujah. God's people is taking the world. We're rising up everywhere. God's people. And we're taking over the world. Come on, folks. I believe it. I say, Brother Pike, you're just talking. I'm not talking. I'm not just talking. Say, you don't really believe that you're going to take the world over. I tell you what, while we was down in Central America, I was trying my best to tell them about us taking the world over. When I went into Israel, I was trying my best to tell them about us taking the world over. When I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, I told the generals we're taking the world over. Wherever I go, I tell them we're taking the world, because we are taking the world. The Bible said, and the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of our God. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So then they're getting shaky and they're getting worried. They see one of them holy rollers, as they call them, coming up, and they shake. They say, my God, something's happening. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we sing a little chorus together? How do you feel good? How could a God feel any way but good? Hallelujah. How could you feel any way but good? Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus like this. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. Sing it with me. In the stillness of the midnight, sing it. Precious sacred scenes unfold. Sing it again. Oh, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness, hallelujah, of the midnight, oh glory, praise, just memories and scenes unfold. You know, when you get alone in the midnight, I've been alone in the night, way out in the wilderness, nobody around anywhere, the darkness creeping in, nobody around for a long ways, and there in the wilderness, in the stillness of the night, and I've seen the moonlight go out in the dark, dark night fall around me. And as the shadows of night crept in, and the fears and anxiety that suppresses the human understanding, I melted away and I looked up to God. And my heart cried. And I said, I love you, Jesus. It's dark. I can't see nothing, but you're on the inside of me, and I got a light, Jesus. And I think about the times that I'd prayed, the times I'd fasted when the darkness closed in. And I think about the precious moments and the memories that I'd had with Jesus. Like the song said, did you ever drink a cup of loneliness with him? And I think about those precious moments. And when the dark night would close in, I'd say, I feel so saved. I feel so secure because you're on the inside of me. Folks, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. When the terrors of life close in on you, whether it's cancer, whether it's some kind of disease, whether it's a broken heart from the loss of a loved one, whether it's the darkness that threatens your soul and tells you that God's not with you. But if you'll just take courage now, then when it happens, your mind will go back and your heart will sing precious memories, and the darkness won't be able to get a hold of you. Can you sing it with me again? Have you ever drank a cup of loneliness with him? Have you ever prayed just a little bit? Have you ever sacrificed a little bit? Have you ever taken your last dollar to give to some poor one and then try to make out Have you ever done that? Let's sing it together again. Those are precious memories. Can you?
Precious memories, how they linger. Oh, how they ever flood my soul.
Sing it with me.
Oh, it's in the stillness of the midnight. Precious, sacred scenes unfold.
Sing it again.
Oh, precious memories unseen angels, how they ever flood my soul. It's in the stillness of God's midnight. Precious, sacred scenes unfold.
How wonderful it is to be a Christian. Oh, how wonderful. The day is soon to dawn, and the light of the world is soon to come, and the God of all eternity is soon to spread forth the wings of healing. And troubled children that are brokenhearted. Oh, there's so many broken hearts. So many lonely, sad, broken hearts. So many mothers that have wept and prayed. Daddies that are torn on the inside, tried to go on making a living. Brokenhearted little children throughout the world. Mothers have been taken and daddies have been taken, and the little children have no one to love them nor to care for them. Suffering people in India with their legs eaten off with leprosy. Different ones in prison that never sees the daylight. Always in the dungeons and the horrible places. I can't go there. And you can't go there, but an unseen vista from heaven. All of a sudden in a cell, all of a sudden in a dungeon, in a hospital where somebody has suffered so much pain. All of a sudden in the heart of a little child that's wept till it can't weep anymore. All of a sudden something comes down and the tenderness of God shed abroad inside. And the little heart gets courage. And all of a sudden, it feels some strength and comfort that we can't give. Jesus, unseen angels, sent from somewhere, were from somewhere to my soul. How they linger, ever near me, as the sacred things of God unfold. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to love one another, to feel the strength flowing from breast to breast, and to know that life is real, that we don't have to just pass away. Our loved ones don't have to be taken away and laid down in the grave to never be seen again. But someday the lovely angel of God will walk over and the precious loved one, my dad and your dad, your mother and your loving daughter, the angel of the Lord will shake them and say, it's time to wake up. I was thinking about Sister Anna how that Marianne used to come here. Marianne used to love to come to church. And I remember when she passed away, and Sister Anna had stayed in the hospital with her day and night for days and days until she was so weary she couldn't hardly go. And one day she had to give her up. But just as sure as I stand here tonight, one day the angel of the Lord will go by. And he'll say, Marianne, it's time to wake up. She'll come out of that long, deep sleep, arms thrown open, coming to mother. Someday, little babies, oh, maybe you've never lost a loved one. Maybe you don't understand. But someday, someday, the broken hearts will be mended. Everything that has been taken away that's dear to you will be replaced. It'll come back someday. And what a joy and a jubilance. What a joy when I see my little old dad. He gets up, starts singing the praise of God. I used to hear him praying over in the night, calling on the name Jesus. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. You love Jesus. Take courage in God. Take courage in God. Folks, we're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen. Did you know that? We do not sorrow as those that have no hope. We have hope. The others put their loved ones away. They have no hope. But we don't sorrow as they do because we have hope. We're going to meet them again. We're going to see them again. It's coming to pass. Can't you just imagine people screaming and crying, rejoicing and dancing and shouting? You're talking about a shouting good time. But you let those people start getting up out of the graves. And over here in this graveyard when my brother Charles gets up and my dad gets up. And over here in another graveyard, when the mother and the dad starts getting up and some little baby and a little boy gets up, some little boy that a mother saw suffer till its little old legs withered away and its little old hands pleading for life. The mother trying to get to it, but all of a sudden when it wakes up and it stands up and the mother sees it, you're talking about shouting.